This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome in to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're brought to you each and every week, of course, by Insperity. Charlie, how are you doing this morning, my friend?
You know, I'm doing quite well. I had a good night's sleep, raring to go. Another Saturday in Houston, Texas. Talking golf with you is a pretty good way to start the morning. A lot still going on. It's really the last tournament of the season, the President's Cup, although it's an exhibition. It's really not a tournament. It's a team event. Right in front of the Statue of Liberty and in our great city of New York. I think it's great. But before we start and go any further, I served my country for 2 years in the U.S. Army, right when I didn't need to be away from golf.
Mm-hmm.
I serve my country. I stand for the flag with my hand across the heart. And I don't understand all this other stuff going on. Support your country. Support your country. That's all you got to do. I don't mind them joining arms in their way to be united. I disagree with some of the things that our president has said, and he's got to get smarter. He's got to get more presidential. I voted for him. Am I disappointed? In a lot of things, yes. So he's got to wise up, and so does Commissioner of the NFL. These guys got to realize that, you know, their entertainment. I'm not going to watch tomorrow.
You won't watch any games tomorrow?
No. And they keep messing up. Hey, I got other stuff to do. I get to go play golf every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyways, that's my 2 cents for right now. Stand up for your country, everybody.
Yeah, well said, Charlie. And as somebody that served in our country's military for a couple of years, thank you for your service.
You got it. You got it. And it was quite an experience during the final, you know, couple of years of Vietnam. I didn't have to go to Vietnam, luckily. But people got to understand history.
All right.
Good and the bad.
Well said, Charlie. And we'll get into some golf coming up next. We'll check in on the President's Cup. Teaser, it's been all U.S. so far.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, that's right. We're brought to you by Insperity each and every week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Quick look at the scoreboard here. At the President's Cup, which is the last event of the season, the U.S., of course, entered the day, Charlie, with a commanding 8-2 lead over the international team. And so far today, Brandon Grace and Louis Oosthuizen, one up through seven on Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. That's been the dynamic pair so far for the U.S. Well, everybody's been playing well, but they've been dominant. Right now, Phil Mickelson and Kevin Kisner are trailing Jonathan Vegas and Emmanuel Grillo. They are one down through seven, and then Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar all over Adam Hadwin and Adam Scott. They're three up through eight, and then you have Jordan Spieth, who just hit a critical putt, and Patrick Reed as through nine with Mark Leishman and Jason Day. But the story so far, Charlie, and we'll see what happens this morning as these go on, but the Americans have been dominant.
Very dominant with quality golf. I mean, and the international team are quality guys, but they just didn't peak at the right time. 11 of the 12 on the American team played last week in the Tour Championship. So they come in prepared. The Hideki Matsuyama, who had a great beginning of the season, kind of fell off. His driver broke. I mean, there's two or three, four different reasons why they're stuck in the mud. Hopefully they can reverse it. I mean, I think it would be exciting to have the matches on Sunday determine the winner of the President's Cup. But Mickelson has come through. He's the life of the party. It's great to see Tiger there.
Yeah.
Mr. No Smile Tiger.
Yeah. Tiger apparently walking through the gallery the other day, not really acknowledging anybody. Just kind of walking through.
I don't understand it. I just don't. I mean, I think he's on the verge of realizing that his career is over with.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah, he had some comments this week, which are interesting, because he's, of course, an assistant captain for Steve Stricker, as is Jim Furyk. But obviously, nobody's going to talk about Jim Furyk being an assistant captain. It's right. About Tiger Woods. So Tiger this week was asked if he could see a scenario where he would not return to competition. And what he replied with was, yeah, definitely. I don't know what my future holds for me. As I've told you guys, I'm just hitting 60-yard shots. Now, he went on to say that he would like to play. But this is really the first admission, when you say, Charlie, of him actually acknowledging the fact that he may be seeing his athletic mortality in front of him. He may now realize that his career as a golfer may be over.
As far as a competitive tour player.
Right.
Yes. Golfers' career extend different ways. And I'm going to assume that Tiger one day is going to be the captain of the President's Cup. He's going to be captain of the Ryder Cup. He deserves that honor.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be in the golf community. But whether he tees it up again in a major, you know, I don't think he'll tee it up if he can't think he has a chance of winning. And right now there's no chance in hell he's going to win a tournament until he gets out there and plays 6 to 8 weeks and see how his body responds and see what numbers he can put up. So it's horrible to see an athlete end his career this way. But the fact of the matter is, it's reality, and you just got to move forward.
Yeah, he went on to say, I've been out of the game for a while. First things first, get my health organized, make sure the pain goes away. Then basically, just as I said, just keep waiting for my surgeon. I'm still training. I'm getting stronger, but I certainly don't have my golf muscles trained because obviously I'm not doing anything golf-related. Now, Charlie, some of these younger players, the Jordan Spieths of the world, the Justin Thomases of the world, even a guy like Dustin Johnson, what we should acknowledge, if this is the end for Tiger and we don't see him again, is just how much more marketable Tiger made this sport to the mainstream. A lot of the money that's coming in for these younger players, Tiger Woods does have a lot to do with how the tour has grown, the popularity, because remember, he's really one of the first guys in the modern era, you know, when he came in, he brought eyes to the television that were not golf fans. We're getting more casual sports fans when Tiger Woods are watching. Even now, when Tiger plays, the ratings go up. So a lot of these guys do owe a lot to Tiger in terms of the popularity of the sport.
You know, there's two modern day athletes that really garnered worldwide attention. You know, of course, Michael Jordan
mm-hmm.
was a unique individual. And then Muhammad Ali, every country, every citizen knew who Muhammad Ali is or was. And then came Tiger. And Tiger was in that rarefied air. I mean, everybody knew who Tiger Woods was. Because he had not only a great golf game, he backed it up. He was in an era where they promoted him very well, and controversy sometimes promotes a guy. And Tiger, you know, he, early on, I think, made some mistakes. They're going to honor Jackie Robinson, and he turned down the invitation.
Yeah.
So little things like that. But yes, Tiger could be done, but he'll be president, the captain of the President's Cup in a couple years, and the Ryder Cup, and he'll enjoy golf in a different setting.
And the other thing is this, Charlie, too, because if you go back to when Tiger was really at his peak in terms of his physical stature, one of the things that hurt his career, and it's been well documented, is the fact that he was training like he wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Remember, he's running around with all these weights in his bag, and that put a ton of strain on his knees, which actually could have led to a lot of the injuries that he had. But the other part of that is this, is Tiger was one of the first golfers that was really like a physical specimen, right? He wanted to be looked at like an athlete, not just a golfer. And I do think that impact that Tiger had in terms of making sure that he was fit physically, you can see the role that that's played in some of these modern players. Now, you do have the Patrick Reeds of the world that may be a little overweight, but if you look at some of these younger players like Dustin Johnson, some of these guys, Rory McIlroy over the past couple of years has got himself into better shape, although this year he didn't play it amazing. But the fact is, Tiger did have an impact in terms of the conditioning on some of these guys as well.
I think some of the physical fitness gurus have done more damage than good.
Interesting.
You know, I think they use golf to increase their business.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but, you know, there's a young man by the name of Frank Stranahan. Back in the 40s was the first guy that really started weightlifting,
mm-hmm.
and he was a number one amateur. He had to retire because of he hurt his body. Gary Player, who I know personally, worked for him, set weights for him. He got himself in golf shape, and back then there were no drugs involved. There's no, you know, special milkshakes, you know,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. So Tiger has got off track. I don't think his dad would have let him do that. And the only person Tiger ever listened to that I know of was his dad. And to be a golfer, you got to be in golf shape. You got to you're going to travel a lot. You're going to walk a lot. And you try playing 3,000 holes a year. That takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point you bring up, too, because it's kind of like the baseball pitcher, right? So you don't want to overtrain the upper part of your body and tighten up your shoulder because you need that muscle to be loose.
That's
so
right.
what you're saying is some of these guys that may be overtrained in terms of the weightlifting, they could be tightening up certain areas of the body like Tiger Woods sure. did with his back. But what you need to do is more like what Gary Player did is you have to train specific for your sport. So right. a lot of this stuff is more about flexibility than it is about putting on muscle, because that muscle could actually hurt you on the course rather than actually help you.
You know, I go back to Lee Trevino and Johnny Miller, two great champions and all that. And one winter, they tried to build up their muscles. And Johnny Miller just did it, and it couldn't swing.
Too tight, right?
Too tight. You know, there's a guy named Keith Clearwater, who was a PGA pro. He won at Colonial, shot 64-64 on the weekend. I mean, he owns three fitness, you know, and he got in incredible shape. For Mr. Universe, he lost his game completely.
Yeah, you can't really be the Hulk and be a good golfer, right?
No.
Because, I mean, think about the guys from other sports that like to play golf in the offseason, right? Some NBA players, Michael Jordan loved it, Ray Allen.
You know why they love it?
Why is that?
They can smoke cigars.
Yeah, they can smoke. That's a good point. But also, those guys, like NBA players, they're not like NFL players where they have all this muscle on them.
Right.
They're fit individuals. Rather, they're lean rather than they are bulky. So, like, when we see NFL players that play in the offseason, it's the quarterbacks that are actually really good golfers. It's not the linemen yeah. or the linebackers. So it is interesting that you bring that up.
Ever heard of John Brody?
John Brody.
He went to Stanford.
Okay.
Went into the NFL with San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went into the senior tour and won. He's one of the very few that went over the lines, you know, a football player, a golfer. But other than that, the National Golf Foundation did a study quite a few years ago that of all the athletes, of all the disciplines, baseball, football, the basketball player has the best body to become a golfer.
Interesting.
See, and Dustin Johnson dunks the ball. He's a good athlete. But he has a trainer down in Florida that I went to see who's very well organized, very into golf. He helped Vijay Singh, and he's training correctly. So I just want the guys to train correctly.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about the NBA players as well, because some of this was for publicity. But remember, it was Steph Curry that played in a web.com. event.
That's right.
This year.
He played so, quite well.
Yeah, and, pretty good golfer.
You know, that, the president acted like he's not going to let the NBA come to the White House.
Oh, well, that's another thing.
First of all, it's not his house.
Yeah.
And I think it's neat for all the athletes. And how about that one kid cutting the lawn of the White House? You see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the guy called us, I'll cut your lawn, yard for free. And he came up there, they gave him a mower. President Trump went out to see him, and the kid wouldn't even stop mowing. He was on his job. So
yeah. And the thing that irritated me about the Steph Curry thing and the Warriors not going to the White House is Steph Curry said, like, the Warriors were not going. And then Trump said, well, you're not invited. Well, they already said they're not going. So why are you uninviting them? They're not going. But, hey, we'll get into some more stuff with the President's Cup coming back. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome back in. We're, of course, brought to you each and every week by Insperity. Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas just picked up a stroke on Brandon Grace and Louis Oosthuizen. So that is as through eight. So all three of the four matches right now are all square. And you have Reed and Spieth through 10 with Leishman and Day. And then you have the Americans are four up through nine in the match with Matt Kuchar and Dustin Johnson on Adam Hadwin and Adam Scott. So right now the Americans in good shape. They, of course, have that 8-2 lead. And Charlie, when you look at this American team, is this the deepest team you've seen in international play for the U.S., if not ever in some time?
This is one of the all-time best teams. Dave Maher took a team over to Europe in 1974 for the Ryder Cup. He was a captain, I can't remember the number, the year, but he was victorious. But he had on his team, he had 11 major titles, you know, with Nicklaus and Player and all the guys, Watson. Mm-hmm. So, but this. You know, one thing that every time I see these kind of events, I think of collegiate golf, and all these kids have benefited from the training they have gotten in high school, but also 4 years in a major college. Jonathan Villegas is an example of somebody that went to Texas, and then, you know, you mature on the golf course, but also socially you've got to really mature in college golf. Allows that to happen. You got to grow. Don't rush in to getting on tour. You know, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I think the tournament you're referring to was in 75, the 21st yes. Ryder Cup here, and the U.S. won that 21-11. Here's yeah. the roster. You had Arnold Palmer was the non-playing captain, but also on that team, Hale Irwin was a rookie. Johnny Miller was a rookie. Jack Nicklaus was on the team. Lee Trevino was on the team as well. So that was a pretty loaded team back then as well.
Yes, yeah.
But, yeah, that's been the most impressive thing to me, because even if you look at, like, the top of the guys on the international team, you're saying if they were going to make this thing close, Jason Day was going to have to play exceptional, and he just had a nice chip in today. Leishman was going to have to play exceptional, but they didn't even get a win on the first day of the tournament. Yeah. But even if those guys played great, well, the problem is when you get to the other matches down the line a little bit, when you're looking at Mickelson and Kisner and some of those guys, the U.S. just has the advantage when you get lower down on the roster is more so than the international team.
Well, that's why Nick Price, the captain, he got his wish, and they don't play all the players all the time. They can hide a couple players that are on the bottom end of the totem pole. And it doesn't look like it's helping him.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It's not helping him whatsoever.
But if you look at we have more guys in the top 10. We, you know, it's just Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, you know, just start with that. And then you have I think Steve Stricker is a good captain. You know, I think he listens and he doesn't try to dominate. So it's another great event, I must admit.
Well, and if you just think at it too from this perspective is, who are the two best players at the end of the season? Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
Yep.
And you have those two guys on the same team. Ricky Fowler played exceptional down the stretch. And then Dustin Johnson, we know when he's on, he's better than anybody else in the world.
Yes.
So that's the advantage that you have. What have you made of Ricky Fowler? Because it seems like whenever he gets into these type of settings, because we know the reputation of Ricky Fowler is he's friends with pretty much everybody on tour, really good friends with Justin Thomas, who he's been paired up with in this. He's good friends with Jordan Spieth. He's even good friends with Phil Mickelson, who's a lot older than him. But Ricky Fowler seems to be that guy. I remember for the Europeans, Ian Poulter was always that guy where he performed really well
yes.
in the Ryder Cups, better than he did on the PGA Tour. Now, Fowler's, of course, performed at a high level at the tour level as well, but it just seems when he gets into these type of settings that I don't know. Guys like to play with him. He even plays better himself. He gets into it. I don't know. He likes to celebrate a little bit during these.
Well, he's a product. You know, he went to Oklahoma State University, and they played a lot of junior golf together. And so the chemistry's there. The chemistry's there. The European and Ryder Cup is going to be very, very interesting the next 4 or 5 years because of all of the great players the American squad, the USA squad has. So hats off to all these guys. Yep. They just went one up.
Who is that, Spieth and Reed?
Yeah, I think so.
So they'll take a lead over Leishman and Day, and they're going to be through 11 after that.
Yeah,
Charlie, it's interesting because not a lot of people have actually been to these events. This one, of course, is in New Jersey, and it's at Liberty. You can see the New York City skyline if you and certain
magnificent.
Yeah, magnificent course. But you, as somebody that you know has worked with Angel Cabrera for years, you said that you know he's played for some of these international teams. What are these events like to be at?
Fascinating. It's a great environment, and I was on the other side in San Francisco 2013, but being in team meeting rooms and because I translate for Angel and all that, you know, everybody cares. They want to win. I mean, they really do, and it's a major for them. And for some reason, the European team just hasn't – I mean, excuse me, the rest of the world team from South Africa, Australia, and mainly Southeast Asia haven't come together yet. And Nick Price is a heck of a captain. So once again, it's who makes the most putts, and we're really putting good.
Yeah. Do you remember, what was your favorite moment when you were there with Angel? Was there something that stuck out to you?
Well, just, you know, being on the – putting green at Memorial and standing next to Jack Nicklaus and have President Bush 43 come up, you know, the environment was special. It was neat.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because it was a really cool moment this week when you saw Bush, President Obama, and also President Clinton were all there. So it was pretty interesting. All three of them took a picture together.
Yeah.
Pretty cool event to have three presidents there.
Yes, yes. And then when Angel played in San Francisco, we had President Bush there, 41, and you know. But the environment is really special because of the team event. It's just a completely different run of the mill PGA Tour event. It's just you know competition at its best, match play, playoffs.
Yeah. See, I really look forward to Sunday. When it's head-to-head rather than – because now we're 3 days into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you get the guys playing together. And it's fun for the first couple of days like it was Thursday and Friday. But it just gets much better when you finally get to Sunday and it's one-on-one because that's essentially the essence of the sport. Yeah. So I would rather it – if they were going to change the format, I would rather it be 2 days where you're playing with a partner. And then when you get to Saturday and Sunday, then it gets to a place where – it's more of a one-on-one type of thing. Yeah. And actually, that could help an international team more in this particular case, maybe so, just because, the Jason Days of the world, maybe they can...
Like our good friend Billy Harmon always says, you know, you become a good team when you start making putts.
Yeah. What did Bill say? That's what Tiger said, right? When they asked him what the camaraderie was like and how the chemistry between the team was, and he just said, we made putts.
That's it.
Yeah. And Tiger hasn't played since what? He played in 2013 in the President's Cup, I believe. So that was the last time he played. Because remember, 2013 is when he got up to – he was player of the year. He's number one in the world at one point. But we haven't seen Tiger in an international competition since then. But it's been more of the young guns. And, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, just like the atmosphere, how some of these guys like to exchange handshakes and whatnot. Well, this is the place where this is – definitely appropriate, and probably the fact that these guys are all close, the Fowlers, the Spieths, the Justin Thomases of the world, Dustin Johnsons of the world, they probably can't wait for this event to come up because all year you're going against each other. It's a grinder. We were talking about how long the season is last week. This is going to be kind of like a relief, like, oh, this is going to be fun. This isn't all on me. I'm playing with the rest of my buddies here.
How about the two amigos celebration on 18? Did you see that yesterday?
Spieth and Mickelson, or
no, Mickelson and his partner Kisner. They did the, you know, the crossing their arms.
Oh, the dance, yeah,
the dance with the
a little hip shake at the end.
Yeah.
The hip shake was a little eccentric for Phil.
Phil couldn't get off the ground, so they couldn't jump up in the air.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have much of a vertical leap, I would say.
No.
All right, coming up next, we're going to put a bow on Justin Thomas's season. Just how impressive was it? He was the player of the year. Of course, he won the FedEx Cup as well. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie, so you got a big weekend ahead of you. Going to play a little golf in Ohio this weekend?
Ohio, Toledo, Ohio.
Nice.
I'm big in Toledo.
You're big in Toledo?
I'm big in Toledo. Charlie who from Toledo where? Toledo Rockets. But no, there's a golf course up there that's really famous by the name of Enderness. They've hosted five U.S. Opens, a couple PGAs, and I was a junior member there back when I was going to the University of Toledo. So I like going back and visiting my friends and playing this famous golf course, which is iconic. It's really, really neat. And the interesting thing about this club, 1930 when they had the U.S. Open there, golf pros were outcasts. The members wouldn't let them come in their clubs to dress, for example.
Really?
So you know what Walter Hagen did?
What did he do?
Pulled his Rolls Royce in front of the clubhouse and changed in his Rolls Royce.
In the car?
In the car. So what the members at Enderness did, they realized their mistake, and they opened the golf course club to the members, to the pros, and welcomed them. They used the locker room, and they changed golf a lot for professional golfers. And then the pros got together and gave the club a present, and it was a big grandfather clock that sits in the foyer today at Toledo. And Sunday night we have a dinner with 30 golf pros who are playing in the event, and we talk about that, and it's really a neat place.
So what time we get in today?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
I land in Detroit, then I have to drive to Toledo.
Okay. So does the tournament start tomorrow, or is it?
No, practice round tomorrow.
Practice round tomorrow. So how long are you going to be there for? Half
the
week?
Actually, I'm going to. It's just a 1 day tournament, and then I'm going to stay on Tuesday and visit some more people, and then come home. But both of my parents are buried there in Sylvania, Ohio. Go visit them. Where that's always a special trip. You got to do that. Unfortunately,
yeah.
They're buried there because that's where they wanted to be buried. So I go Sunday morning, visit with them, and talk to them, and you got to do it.
Yeah. No, I understand, Charlie, and I hope you have a great weekend. It sounds like you got some nice plans ahead of you. I'll be here. I'll be staying in Houston. So maybe you'll get some nice temperatures in Ohio,
that's
too. Some cooler.
51.
Oh, 51.
In the morning.
Hope you packed the sweater
49.
Or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a lot of insulation on my body anyway.
All right, we're talking about Ricky Fowler and just the success that he's had in these international events, Ryder Cup and the President's Cup and whatnot. But the one thing about Ricky Fowler that you say on the tour that he doesn't have yet, and this is how we judge golfers now since Tiger made this so popular with how many majors have you won, he was chasing Jack and whatnot, is Fowler still, he's finished second a couple of times, but he's been the bridesmaid. He's never been able to punch through. So what have you seen as Ricky? And look, the guy's a great player. But what has been his biggest issue where he hasn't been able to completely get over that hump?
He's so aggressive. He makes too many doubles and triple bogeys. You can't do that and compete at the high level and give away three or four shots a round. Because, it's just one-tenth of a shot every day. It makes a big difference. You keep those big numbers off your scorecard, and he's going to win more. If he had Jack Nicklaus as a caddy, and Jack could teach him how he went around a golf course, I think Ricky would really, really improve. I mean, Butch Harmon has really helped him with his swing. I mean, he finished second 1 year in all four majors.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he is... He's a special golfer, but he's got to learn how to play a little more conservative at times.
Yeah, I remember that. Was it 2013 or 2014? Because I remember him and Rory went at it in one of the PGA championships. They went back and forth, and Rory eventually ended up outlasting him. I think that's the year that Rory won two majors, that Ricky finished second in all four, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Well, I think Rory won back-to-back. He won. Didn't he win the Open Championship and the PGA in the same year?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it was that year. Somebody that hasn't been able to struggle in or isn't struggling in finishing tournaments is Justin Thomas. And we've seen he's playing really well at the President's Cup. But last week, the big finish, he finishes second at the Tour Championship, so he wins the FedEx Cup points. And in the 11-year era of the FedEx Cup, he joined Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods as the only players to win the FedEx Cup in a season with at least five victories in a major. So that kind of puts into perspective how good his season was. Now, did you see him at his press conference last week, Charlie, when he was getting ready to receive the FedEx Cup trophy? He said he's talking to his grandfather on the phone. He said, "Hey, Grandpa, can I call you back? I'm in the middle of a press conference with the reporters." And one of the things that was really funny is they showed he on his phone, you know, on your iPhone, you get that notes section where some people use it to write down what they're getting at the grocery store, whatever. Some may write notes to themselves. Yes. And he actually wrote notes to himself.
Set standards for himself.
Yeah, goals for himself. So how about some of these, Charlie? Make the Tour Championship.
Right.
Check mark there. Win at least once. You can put five checks on that one. He won five times. Be in the final two groups of a major on Sunday. He did that twice. U.S. Open and the PGA, which he, of course, won. Win a major championship.
Right.
Did that. Make the President's Cup team. Made that pretty easily. Better than a .25 in strokes gained putting statistic. Now, he didn't make that. He's .289. Better than one strokes in gain to tee green. He's at 1.33. Top 10 in all-around statistical category, number 6. Top 30 in scrambling, 28th. Sub-70 scoring average, 69.36. Top 10 in half of his starts, he said, "I missed it by one." He was in 9. But this is pretty amazing when you look at the goals. He pretty much, I mean, there's a couple there, but he pretty much reached every single goal, every standard he set for himself. And a lot of these goals, he went even further than the goal he set. That's pretty amazing because we knew Justin Thomas, but this, I mean, this is one of those things where he just bursted onto the scene.
What does all that add up to?
Focus. Drive.
$20 million.
Oh, yeah, financially. Yeah, right?
Think about it.
Think about getting that $10 million check he got last week.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
I think the IRS really likes him.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding.
Because he's going to be paying a lot of taxes.
Yeah, they're singling in on him.
But, you know, Justin is a product of Jordan. You know, they grew up in that same era, and Jordan opened the eyes for a lot of collegiate players, and Justin is there. He MVP. He's really got a sound swing. His grandfather's a golf professional. His father's a golf professional, so that's really great to see. And the season starts October 1st again. What are we doing?
We can
just watch football.
Yeah, he's got no time off. Now, here's the thing that's been pointed out a lot about Justin Thomas, and you would know this better than most, is as he's had his success this season, a lot's been made of his wedge play. Have you noticed, is he the best on the tour, one of the best on the tours? What separates him in terms of his wedge play from some of these other guys? Because I remember for years, Mickelson was great with the wedges.
He almost makes every one. The ball is always scaring the hole. He's really spot on with his wedge play. And that's the thing that changed Dustin Johnson's career, and he got better with his wedges because they're so long off the tee. And but the wedge play, he's able to flight it. He's got the touch. And he practices a lot, and he's worked hard. So congratulations to Player of the Year Justin Thomas.
Yeah, Charlie, has there been an era where you remember where because we had Jack's reign? Arnold Palmer was there, and then, you know, you had Tiger Woods when he was dominating. Phil Mickelson really wasn't a rival to Tiger Woods because Tiger was just a lot better than him. No disrespect to Phil. The guy's had a great career, five majors, whatnot. Yeah. But when you look at this era right now, when you could see, okay, just a couple of years ago, I should say, Rory made a run. Jordan Spieth we saw this year, and a couple of years ago, he made a run. Dustin Johnson, at the beginning of the year and the end of last season, looked like the best player of the world. We've seen it from Jason Day. Now we've seen it with Justin Thomas. Have you seen the amount of talent at the top be this close before, or have you been used to seeing at least one or two guys separating themselves? Because it seems like at this particular time, there's maybe five or six guys where they could really make a claim that they're the best player in the world.
Well, the era of the Nicklaus domination where he won 18 majors, there was a guy named Tom Watson that beat him out of two or three, and he won 8 majors. Lee Trevino, you know, he won his majors. You had Gary Player. You had, you know, multiple guys win 8, 9 majors. You know, Greg Norman, you know, he won a couple British Opens, but this class is really tight, you know. But time will only tell. This is a 15-year. They'll be playing into their 40s, and they're just 25 now.
So. Yeah, and especially the way we see with athletes nowadays, where not only in golf but in all sports, it seems like athletes, because of modern medicine, nutrition, all those type of things, these guys are aging much better than they did in the past.
80's the new 50.
80's the new 50.
I speak from a, you know. I'm 72 years old, and I feel as good as I did when I was 62. And today we're fortunate. We've always had great medical help over the years. I've had some issues, and the doctors down at MD Anderson and Kelsey Siebel have helped me along. So, you know, we're a healthier society, and we're going to live longer and play harder and win more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to upset Houston Texans fans, but there's a 40-year-old quarterback named Tom Brady that's playing better than most guys that are 25, 26. So maybe it is. 80's the new 50. I like that, Charlie. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie. Well, you want to give out an award for your MVP of the week?
My MVP is football player, our new quarterback, Houston Texans. What he did this weekend.
Deshaun Watson
gave his paycheck, divided it into three, and gave it to three nice ladies that, you know, really work over there at the Texas Stadium and
in the cafeteria.
In the cafeteria and take good care of the players. And that's gratitude, and my hat's off to him.
Yeah, and it was people that had homes damaged during Harvey, so he essentially took his first game check and gave that entire check to the workers in the cafeteria. First game check he's ever getting as an NFL player.
Yeah.
He decided to give that away to help other people. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
That's a leader.
Yeah. By the way, he's not too bad of a football player either. You see him against the Patriots, 300 yards. I mean, that he's doing everything. He does it with the legs.
Fran Watson.
Like Fran Tarkenton. That is a good comparison.
You know, with that offensive line that we have, their nickname's the Sieve.
Oh, man. They get some trouble there, huh, Charlie?
Oh, my God.
Watson's running for his life.
And the banged up secondary. But anyways, it was a great gesture, and it was from the heart, and congratulations to him.
Yeah, it was cool, and we've seen that a lot on the tour this year. Guys and ladies giving up money and checks.
We follow that with the Stacey Lewis check that she pledged her check, her whole check, and she won.
Yeah.
She gave away $195,000.
Yeah, that's where if you don't believe in fate, you may want to start believing it, because she said before the tournament she was going to donate her winnings or whatever she made to Hurricane Harvey relief funds, and she ends up winning the tournament.
And then her two sponsors matched. You know, one sponsor matched hers, and the other KMPG gave $1 million in her name. So she raised $1.5 million. So Stacey Lewis, way to go!
Yeah, Charlie. One thing I wanted to get to before we left here is Sam Saunders, Arnold Palmer's grandson,
59,
shot a 59, trying to save his tour card. Of course, now right now, he is 129th. He finished 129th in the FedEx Cup standings. He entered the week 24th in the race for the 25 PGA Tour cards. And right now, he's playing in a web.com event. And we mentioned the 59 that he shot on Thursday. He currently leads that tournament. He's 17 under. Second place is 15 under. So hopefully he closes this thing out. But pretty amazing to shoot a 59 to open up the tournament. You want to save your tour card, it's a pretty good start.
Incredible. And Sam has a big burden, being the grandson of the most famous golfer, Arnold Palmer. And Arnold Palmer was from Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Sam went to Clemson.
A little bit of a rivalry.
You know, but that's okay. But Sam is a special kid, and he's doing a great job, and I congratulate him.
Yeah. No, I got to imagine that's got to be tough, because every time, it's kind of like, you know, Howie Long's got a couple of kids in the NFL.
Yes.
So it's got to be tough when to put that even in a bigger perspective, one of the greatest golfers of all time, Arnold Palmer, like you got to kind of follow in his footsteps as his grandson. That's tough. I mean, that'd be like, you know, if Tiger's kid one day wants to play golf. You know what I mean? Like trying to live up to Tiger Woods' reputation. I mean, that's got to be awfully tough. I mean, you got a lot of advantages early in life, right? Arnold Palmer had some money and whatnot. We know that, but I mean,
don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah, and I'm not making excuses for the guy, but I got to imagine every time you go out there, it's like you're not Sam Saunders, right? You're Arnold Palmer's grandson.
Yeah, but in the last 25 years, you've had Jack Nicklaus had four sons, and they couldn't get to the level. Gary Nicklaus almost won a PGA Tour event. Gary Player's sons played golf, and they never quite made it. So it's hard to be a son of a very important golfer that, you know, for some reason all of a sudden you don't add up to your dad's history, you know. But it's life, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine, too, like it's tougher to develop that killer work ethic that some of these guys had to get to that level because they were coming up, right? So these guys already had a lot of things given to them in life. So it's tough to just inherently build that work ethic. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, you look in the NBA, Steph Curry, his father, Del Curry, played in the NBA, and he's way better than his father ever was. But it's tough to kind of develop that work ethic when you have pretty much everything you could possibly want in life to begin with.
It's hard to grow up with a rich father.
Yeah, it's real tough, Charlie.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of those scenarios, and it's really hard on that. And you think, wow, this is dumb, but there's different pressures. But
all right, Charlie. Well, hey, you enjoy Ohio.
I will.
And hey, make sure you got a TV on tomorrow because it looks like maybe the international team will make this at least somewhat interesting on Sunday. The U.S. winning in a runaway right now at the President's Cup, but hopefully we get some good action tomorrow.
They only need 7.5 more points.
Yeah.
They win 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. They only need 3.5.
All right.